We're on Daf Kuf Amud Aleph, and we're up to line 3. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, and the subject of our discussion is the violation of an Issa D'Rabbanan of Shimush Be'ilon, of using, of sitting on, leaning on, climbing on a tree, which was prohibited by the Mishnah at the end of Masechta Beitza, because he might come to grab on to one of the fruits of the tree and pluck it. And the Mishnah establishes that Shrosh of Gvoim min Ha'aretz, Shlosha Tfachim lo Yeshev Aleihem. If the roots that come out of the trunk of the tree are above 3 Tfachim, so we no longer view those roots as karka, because we don't have lavud, but rather we see the roots as an ilan, as a tree unto itself. And therefore he's not allowed to sit on that part of the root that goes above 3 tfach. So if you imagine the tree that's vertical, now there are offshoots of the tree. Those parts of the offshoots that are below 3 tfachim, he's allowed to sit on, because that's called aras michta, that's considered lovewood, it's as if it's flat on the karka, and it doesn't have the status of an ilan. But then, those roots climb up, and they reach above 3 tfachim of the ground, then they become an ilan, and if he wants to sit over there on those parts of the roots, he's enjoined from doing so. Now we're going to have a machlokes about this din in a case where the ilan has offshoots, or shall we call it branches, that go up and then down again. Itmar, sharshe ilan haboim milamala mishlosha letoch shlosha. So you have these roots, they climb up above 3 tfachim, and then they dip down again. It's got a funny kind of a shape. It goes down, up, and down, like a roller coaster. Now, as far as those roots that are closer to the trunk of the tree and are lower than 3 tfachim, less man de polik. That for sure is mutter. As far as the part of the roots that climb up above 3 tfachim, less man de polik, that's awesome. The machlokis is going to be when that root that swung up now goes down to below 3 tfachim. Is he allowed to sit on that part of the root, which is below 3 tfachim? Sharshe Ilana boy milamala mishlosha letoch shlosha. So the higher part of this root is above 3 tfachim from the karka. Now it goes back down again, dipping below 3 tfachim. So he wants to now sit on that part of the root which is below 3 tfachim. Rabba amar mutal ishtamish bahen. Rabba has the perspective of whether or not this is an ilan. It can't be an ilan because it's below 3 tfachim. It's lavud. It's samach lekarka. And Rava really is looking in a very isolated perspective. He's isolating that part of the shroshim which is less than 3 tfachim from the ground. And if you isolate that, you know, draw a box around it, what you have is lavud, meaning karka. It's not an ilan. Hence, you're allowed to sit there. Rav Sheshes Omar, wait a minute. Let's look at the broader perspective. Also, lishtamish ben. Rav Omar, mutu lishtamish ben, the kol pachas mishlosha diara, arahi. Rabba simply applies the rule of lavut. And therefore, the part of the roots that he wants to sit on is karka. Why? Because there's no airspace of three tefachim that separates it from the karka. If it's karka, then it's not an ilan, and you're allowed to use it. Rav Sheshes Amar also lishtamish from the cave under mikoach iser kaasi asurin. Let's look at the broader picture. Don't isolate your perspective and look at these roots here that are, in this case, the furthest away from the trunk, that are below three tefachim. You don't have the right to isolate that. Why? Bikach iser kasi. Those roots are an extension of the part of the roots that climbed up above three tefachim and had already the status of an ilan. So we've already generated a shame ilan on the shroshim by making the shroshim into an ilan at that point where the shroshim climb above three tefachim. And now those shroshim, which became an ilan above three tefachim, now they generate other shroshim, other roots, as an extension, and they maintain the same status of Isur as the part of the roots from which they came. Now, what's odd about Rav Sheshes, even though I have to honestly tell you that I intuitively identify with Rav Sheshes, but my only problem with Rav Sheshes is that why not say about, you know, if the whole svar is mikach ka'asi, right? But let's focus on those words, mikach ka'asi. So why do you apply that mikach iser ka'asi? Why not apply mikach heter ka'asi? What do I mean? The roots of the tree began below three tefachim. Then they climb up, ultimately hitting a pinnacle of above three tefachim. But certainly, that pinnacle is mikach hetera ka'asi. It's a one-way street, according to Rav Sheshes. It's not a two-way street. I'm not going to apply the mikach ka'asi in both directions. I'm only going to apply it l'chumra l'isur. And I'm going to give the lower end of this branch of this root a status of an ilan with an iser of yeshiva. Why? Because it's mikach iser kasi. But I'm not going to go back to the beginning of the story and say, well, it's all mikach heter kasi. And I think the answer to that is that according to Rav Sheshes, there's ilan and then there's shroshim. As soon as I get to the point where I have an ilan, then the extension of that ilan is part of the same ilan. Once I hit lamala mishlosha tefachim, Rav Sheshes argues I now have an ilan. Forget about the original ilan. Now I have a brand new ilan. We have ilan number aleph and ilan number beis. Now I have ilan number beis, and it has its own shroshim. Those shroshim are like batel to the ilan. Now, again, it's complicated. Why? Because let's just start with the ilan itself, the real McCoy ilan, the original Aleph ilan. It has shroshim that begin underground and gradually rise above the ground level. Above the ground level, as long as it's three tefachim, even Rav Sheshes agrees, it's not an ilan. However, in a theoretical world, again, this is purely theoretical, if I could benefit from the shroshim that are below the ground, that would be awesome. Why? Why not consider them karka? The answer is those are the shroshim that come directly from the ilan. they certainly have the status of the Ilan. Once the Shrushim pop their head out, they emerge from the ground, now they become a separate entity. And as long as they're close to the karka by three tefachim and apply lovud, I'm allowed to benefit from them. Because they have now a status of Shrushim as an independent entity. It's not an Ilan. It's not an extension of the original Ilan, because now, all of a sudden, it popped its head out, as we said, on ground level. And therefore, it's mutter. But the moment that that Shoresh rises three tefachim above ground level, now we have a second Ilan. But the unique status or relationship in the second Elon is that the Shrushim that extend after the second Elon that we've created are now part of the Shrushim of that second Elon, like the Shrushim that were below ground of the first Elon. So that's the Chiddush here of Rav Sheshes. Now, the balance of the sugya that we're going to study in Mirtz Shem today is what I call applications. In other words, the Gemara is going to come up with a variety of scenarios, and it's going to use the principles of Rabbah and Rav Sheshes and apply them to the various scenarios. It's almost as if the Gemara is creating for us a list of nafkaminas in different scenarios between Rabbah and Rav Yosef. So again, the original scenario we have down, we have Shrushim Haboim Milamala, and they come Lamata. So you have the Shrushim that rise up three tefachim plus above ground level, and then they dip down. Rabbah says the part that dips down is mutter. It has the halach of Shrushim. It's not an Elon. And Rabbah says, no, it's an extension of this new Elon, which rose above three tefach. And again, the reason why I emphasize that, according to Rav Sheshes, there's a new Elon, is because otherwise, you could ask me, what about the Shrushim before they climbed up to three tefach? What's the difference between those Shrushim and the Shrushim above three Tefachim? The answer is that those Shrushim below three Tefachim are Shrushim. They're not Elon. What about the Shrushim that are directly connected to the original Elon and are below three Tefachim? Maybe they're even, as we said before, subterranean. Those are part and parcel of the Elon. And as such, they're also Banah. The Shrushim that rise above ground level, since they're below three Tefachim, they are Shrushim and not Elon. Once those Shrushim reach three Tefachim in height, now we have brand new Elon. Panim Chadosh is Ba'olakan. And that Elon is going to generate an Iser on its Shrushim, even though they're below three Tefachim. Now we have the second scenario. Didamu Kimshu Nisa. Now, I'm not exactly sure. You have to have a very broad imagination. Maybe an artist would be helpful here. Why the Gemara, in the second scenario, compares it to stones that jut out from a mountain. You know, imagine you have a picture of a mountain, and there are sla'im, right? There are boulders that, that makes a mountain climber very happy because he can climb up the mountain by, grabbing on from one cellar to the other, like using it as a ladder almost to climb the, imagine if you had a mountain that was totally steep and it was flat on both sides. Yeah. How are you going to climb such a mountain? But anyway, the Gemara calls this a Mishunisa. So Mishunisa are, in a sense, like the teeth that protrude from a mountain. Okay, now, what is the actual scenario? We're not going mountain climbing, that we want to address, that's going to be totally in the Machlokes Shin Rab and Rav Yosef. So now you have the following. You have Shrushim, Gedolim, you have very large Shrushim, that Yotzimei HaKarka, that they're deep below the ground, and now they emerge above ground level, and they grow and protrude in an angle, right? In an angle. So you've got Shrushim that look above ground like a, what shall I say, almost like a triangle, and it juts out in that direction, and it reaches a height of above 3 tefach. Now, from this very large shoresh, you have small shrushim that jut out or grow out of this big log shoresh, and those small shrushim dip in a downward direction. And that's why the Gemara calls this Mishunisa. It's like the these boulders that jut out from a mountain. Again, it's hard for me to make this analogy. I don't know. You have to be very imaginative. But what you have is like the mountain itself continues upwards, but if you look at it from a certain perspective, some of the boulders look like they're shooting downwards off the side of the mountain. So if you have that image in your mind, then if you just transpose that into a tree, you have these shrushim that are very thick, and they rise very high, they go above 3 tefachim, and then you have like offshoots, which are parallel to the boulders in this the slime in this mushal, and they go in a downward position. And what's the din of these smaller shrushim that are dipping below in a downward direction towards the karka? This solikli ela, right? Solik means to go up. Li ela, meaning those that go up above 3 tefachim asurim. Dinachis litatoi, in other words, those that dip below and they reach within 3 tefachim, sharu, their mutter, but litzdadim plukta derava veravsheshes. So I have a diagram here. I don't know if you have a picture. And in this picture, he has three different parts. He's got Aleph, which is called the Sulkin Li'ela. He's got Beis, which is Litzdadim. And he's got Gimel, which is the Nachtin Litatoi. So it works like this. This branch that travels in an upward direction has three different offshoots that are bending in a downward direction, pointed in a downward direction. We'll go from the top to the bottom. The top, which dips towards the karka, is above 3 tefachim from the karka. That's called the Solik Li'ela. Li'ela means it's above 3 tefachim. Everybody agrees that that's us. Then he's got in the middle a line which takes you from the trunk of the tree straight, we'll call it horizontally, at a height level of 3 tefachim above the karka. Now, if you draw that imaginary line, you will get to, let's call it, the middle of those three offshoots, you know, and that one is at a level of 3 tefachim above the ground. Then you have a third offshoot about which there's no machlokes, and that offshoot is below 3 tefachim. So we have Aleph, which is solically Ela, that's above 3 tefachim. Everybody agrees, Rabbah and Rav Yosef, that that's Asur. You have number Gimel, which is the Nachtin Litatoi, that's the piece that juts out below 3 tefachim of height from the Karka. Everybody agrees, even Rav Sheshes agrees that that's Mutter. The Machlokas is going to be about litzdodim, that middle case where if you draw a line, it's at the height of 3 tefachim above the karka. Now, why is this dependent upon Rav and Rav Yosef? And the answer is, we go back to what's called Tchilas Yitziyosam Me'agdolim, right? So these are the smaller offshoots that shoot off from the Gedolim, from that very large branch, very thick branch. Hayuheim atzmam b'makom gavoa ha'asur b'shimush. In other words, what Rav Sheshes is going to say is, Mikach Iser Ka'asi. So it's a little bit different than what I told you before. Why is it Mikach Iser Ka'asi? Since the branch itself continues climbing above 3 tefachim, when I say the branch, I mean this main thick branch. So therefore, at that moment in time, above 3 tefachim, that branch is what? Is an Elon. It's no longer Lovud. So now the branch, the smaller branch that shoots off of that larger branch, if it's at the height of 3 tefachim, that's called Mikach Iser Ka'asi. So why is the Nachtin Tatoi? Ah, I see. Okay, good. It's not. It doesn't contradict what I said before. I'm much more at ease. The Nachtin Tatoi means that branch, that shoot, does not come mikach iser. It's mutter even according to Rav Sheshes, because at that point where it's yotza me'agdolim, as we said before, Tchilas Yitziyosu Me'agdolim, the Gadol itself hasn't reached the level of 3 Tefachim. So at that point in time, you have not yet generated an Elon, and you cannot apply the principle of Mikach Iser Ka'asi. However, once you get to 3 Tefachim in this major branch, then the Tchilas Yitziyosu of the smaller branch is Mikach Iser Ka'asi, because already at 3 Tefachim, you've generated the status of an Elon to the larger, thicker branch. According to Rabbah, on the other hand, Rabbah would say that at the level of 3 tefachim, we could consider it lovud, and therefore it has the status of karka. Now again, what we have to add here is the following element in the equation. And that's, according to Rav Sheshes, love is not going to help you here as far as litzdadim. And the reason for that is because the thickness of the gadol spans from below 3 tefachim at that point to above 3 tefachim. And since the smaller shoot of litzdadim is coming from the gdolim, and the gdolim already became also because its thickness has risen above 3 tefachim, So therefore, even though technically we could apply lavud to the ketanim in the case of tzadim, but we don't have the right to do so because of the svar of mikoach iser kaasi. Because the tchilas yitzios me'agdolim, as far as that katan is, in the case of tzadim, is be'isur. The gedolim, since they rise above three tfachim at that point, they have the status of an ilon, and they're asur, so therefore the ketanim that come out of that ilon are also asur. The only ketanim, which is called solik litatoi, or I should say nachtim litatoi, which is mutter according to Rav Sheshes, is because you haven't yet set up an isur. Right? So as the Elon HaGadol is traveling up, it hasn't yet risen above three tefachim from the ground, and that's where the ketanim are shooting off. Right, so you have, if you follow me, you've got one line that is on a slant, and you've got three smaller lines that are shooting off at different levels of the height of the slant. So that which shoots off below three tefachim is mikach hetera ka'asi, and kulialma even Rav Sheshes agree is muta. The top part, which shoots off, is above three tefachim, and therefore even Rava will say it's asur. The machlokis is going to be at that middle level. On the one end, you can apply lavud, and therefore it's karka, not ilon, and that's going to be Rava's opinion, so it's mutter. On the other end, we're going to apply the principle of Rav Sheshes of mikach iser ka'asi, because the thickness of this slanted gedolim, as we called it, is such that it rises already above three tefachim. And now that we can't apply at that point lavud, we have an ilan and not karka, then the offshoot at that point, which theoretically would be subject to lavud, and in fact Rabba is going to apply the principle of lavud, is now defined as mikach iser ka'os. Now we get to scenario number three. V'chein anigra. Okay. Now, an anigra is what's called in modern Hebrew a ta'ala. So what you have is, you have ground. Let's say you have a field on the right and a field on the left. And now you dig a human-made waterway, which dips below the ground. You create a crevice in the ground, which allows water to flow from a higher point to a lower point. And now, in the middle of this, how do you say ta'ala in English? Anybody have a good word for that? Let's see if I have an English translation here.
This ditch?
Okay, that's a good word. So in the middle of this ditch, you have a tree that's growing in the middle of the ditch. Okay. Now, this tree that's growing has two parts to it. I mean, it's one tree, but part of it is below ground level. It's actually sunk in to this ta'ala, which is bringing water from one place to another. Then there's another part of the ditch. I'm sorry, there's another part of the ilan that rises above ground level. Okay, now we have to add the lavud element into the equation. He says that this ilan that is inside the ditch smacks up to the sides of the ditch. What does that mean? It's within three tefachim of a distance from the two sides of the tala. So basically, according to halacha, we can define the ilan as going from one side of the tala to the other side of the tala. It is what's called rochav kikol rochvo. Its width is now equal to the width of the tala at that point. I mean, it could be the tala is wider here or wider there, but at that juncture, and he writes here, based on Rashi, that Shnei Tzidov Shebetzad Kosle Hatala Mechusim Bekarka Shebetzdadeha. So it means that you've got landfill on both sides of this tree at the level of Tala. Right? So again, there are two levels. There's the Tala level, up to the Tala, which means subterranean, we'll call it. And at that level, you've got landfill that attaches, if you will, this Elon to both sides of the Tala. But now we go Migova. Now we're up to the higher point of this tree. That's above the Tala. And that's the exposed part of the tree. Now, we're going to measure the height of this tree. If he measures it from the sides that are exposed, that are above ground, he'll come up with one calculation. If, on the other hand, he measures the tree from the bottom of the tala, subterranean, he'll come up with a different calculation. So what's the status of this tree? Are you allowed to benefit from it or not? That's going to be dependent upon the machlokas between Rabba and Rav Yosef. He says the following. This is all a summary of Rashi. He says, "Kshemodeid govo bitzidav hagluyim modedam mikarkois hatala hare govo sham shloshet tvachim v'yoser." However, "Kshemodeid bitzidav hamachusim hare modedim misfas hatala v'ein begovo shloshet tvachim." So it works like this. That the part of the Elon that juts above the ground level is less than three tefachim in height. And we said that anything that's less than three tefachim in height is considered as if it's, you know, push it down to the karka level. And it doesn't have the status of an Elon. If, on the other hand, we measure this Elon from what he calls the karkois hatala, from the ground level subterranean, then we have a tree that's more than three tefachim above the ground. According to Rabba, he's allowed to enjoy that part and benefit from that part of the ilan that rises above the ground. Why? Because Rabba doesn't have the svar of mikach iser ka'asi, meaning that although the part of the tree that's below the ground, that's submerged in this ta'ala, is definitely an ilan, because it certainly has a gova of more than three tefachim, but the part that goes above the ground doesn't have a gova of three tefachim, and therefore it's not an ilan. And since Rabba completely rejects the concept and the principle of mikach iser ka'asi, it's irrelevant if the bottom part of this Elon is Osir as an Elon. We're going to just judge it from the ground level and up, and it's less than three tefachim high above ground. According to Rav Sheshis, on the other hand, who says that whenever it's ba machmas or mikocha isur, it's asur. So now we're going to measure this ilan from the karkait hatala, from the bottom of the ditch. And certainly going up from there, it's already higher than three tefachim. So that even though the top part, which rises above ground level, from the Sfas Hatala Ulamala, is in and of itself less than three tefachim, nevertheless it's asur. Even though that top part should be considered based on lovut, samach lekarka, it's less than three tefachim. And the answer is because it grows mikach, it's an extension of the part of the ilan that is below the ground level, which itself has the height of more than three tefachim, and certainly it has the status of an ilan and it's us. So that's scenario number three. Now we get to scenario number four. V'chein b'keren zavis. So now what we have is two walls that hit each other at a 90-degree angle. That's called the Keren Zavis. And he's got a tree that grows exactly at that Keren Zavis, so that the tree is now covered on three sides. Why on three sides? Because if you were standing outside of this structure, that's one side of the tree that's completely covered by the two walls that reach a 90-degree angle. If you want to talk about the right side of the tree, that's covered by the kosel on that side. And if you want to talk about the left side of the tree, that's covered by the part of the kosel on the left side. And now the Gemara is going to insist that the status of this tree and whether or not it's asur, let's say, to lean on the tree, whatever it is, depends upon the machlokas between Rava and Rav Yosef. Why? The ksalim are, let's say, 13 tefachim high. And the ilan is also 13 tefachim high. No, let me say it a little differently. The kosel is 10 tefachim high, and the ilan is, let's say, 12.9 tefachim high, meaning it's got an extra close to 3 tefachim of height above the height of the kosel. So that part of the ilan is not covered by the kosel, any of the ksalim. So let's measure the ilan in the part that's not covered, the part that's exposed, which is called govo b'tzad ha-golui, ha-rochok me'aksalim. So that's one way you could measure this ilan. If you're modedo mikarka hachotzer, if you're going to go back to the ground level and you're going to measure this tree, certainly it's way more than three tefachim high. However, if you measure it in the tzad that's golui, meaning the part of the tree that rises above the ksalim, that part of the tree is less than three tefachim. If he wants the benefit by hanging his hat on the top of this tree, or whatever he's hanging there, then according to Rabbah, we're going to focus on that part of the tree that's above the ksalim, which measures less than three tefachim, and therefore doesn't have the status of an ilan. Whereas according to Rav Sheshes, we're going to measure this tree from the karka of the chotzer, and from there it goes, shoots up at a height that's more than 3 tefachim. And therefore, even the top of the tree is asur because mikoach iser ka'asya. Now, what we have to understand here, this last scenario is a big chiddush, because I understand Rav Sheshes very well. How could Rabbah apply the principle of pachos mishlosha to the top of the tree? We've been applying lavud to the tree, or that part of the tree, or the roots of the tree that's less than 3 tefachim, in order to make it into karka. But here, we're talking about a vertical tree, and the top part of the vertical tree is less than 3 tefachim in its revealed above the kosel. How do you apply lavud in this case? And I'm just going to throw out one idea, and I'm not sure if this is correct, but that the kosel itself now substitutes for karka. Let me try to explain what I mean. You've got a keren zavis. If you have, let's say, again, just wild imagination, you would have a tree that grew out of the top of the kosel, and it's less than 3 tefachim above the top of the kosel. It would be lavud to the top of the kosel, and therefore it's part of the kosel. You would not count it as an ilan. And what Rabbah is able to do now is he's going to measure the top of the kosel and the ilan in its height above the kosel. And if the ilan above the kosel is within 3 tefachim of the kosel, then it's, so to speak, batel, or more precisely, lavud to the kosel itself. So there's no gzeiras hakosev here that in order to be mafkia the shem ilon, we have to use karka. We can use any object that's not karka and wonder if we have a lovewood in the ilon of less than 3 tefachim to that object, whatever that object might be. So you can imagine, for example, let's say you had a tree and you attach a ladder to the tree, so you can climb up to the top of the tree and pluck off the coconuts, right? Or the dates of a date tree, right? Whatever it is. Now, if the top of the ladder reaches a height such that that part of the tree that goes above the top of the ladder is less than 3 tefachim above it, once again, we can apply the principle of love. And we view the top of the tree as if it was attached to the ladder itself. In this case, we don't have a ladder necessarily, but what we have is a kosel itself. The kosel sort of embraces the ilan, and the top of the kosel allows the top of the ilan to be considered lavud, and that's why Rabbah would be matarit. Whereas Rav Sheshes looks at the ilan as one entity, one continuous whole, and since below the kosolim, it has the height that makes it into a tree, it's more than 3 tefachim, it's not batel or lavud to anything, therefore the top of the tree is just an extension that's called mikoach iser ka'os. So I don't remember what number we're up to. I think we're up to number 5. Hahi dikla. Now we have a 5th case. Yes.
Because the walls encompass more than half of the tree?
That's an interesting question, yeah. How thin is the tree? In the description that we have of the tree, the kosel on both sides, called the keren zavis, it's shlosha tzadav, 3 sides of the tree, listen carefully, nichnasim umechunasim bekosle azavis. Those words, nichnasim umechus, I meant to say nichnasim umechusim bekosle azavis. In other words, we're talking about a very thin tree, such that we now could set up a relationship between the top of the tree that goes above the Ksalim and the top of the Ksalim. I have a footnote here, but I don't know if it helps us or not. He says, Kol shenechleku dafka be'ilon agadel be'keren zavis u'mechusim mikama tzadav. It's covered by three sides. Aval ilon hagadol samachli emtza hakosel shelo be'keren zavis eino mechusav ela b'tzido ha'echad. So you have now a different scenario, which is not covered by the Gemara. This is Rashi. Rashi says that why does the Gemara come up with a case where the tree is located in Keren Zavis, if the tree is just smack up against the Kosel, and it's only covered by one side that attaches it to the Kosel, then in that case there's no Machlokes, and I'm going to hold on to the punchline here for a minute. So what would be the status of this tree? Rashi's saying there's no machlokas in this case. So what does that mean? Everybody would be matir or everybody would aser it? So I thought that what Rashi means is that in this case where the tree is just smack up against the wall, let's say it's inside the walls, then everybody would agree that it's asur. And Rashi, Dibir Maskel V'chein B'keren, Rashi says that in such a case, if eino mechusa ela b'tzido echad, modubo rava, hoil u'megula b'shlosh etzdodov, v'govo niresham, the eino mechusa ela b'tzido arvi, hareu kechol ha'ilonos, Vekulo asur, af bechelika elyon. Right? In other words, we need that the kosel, or in this case, two ksalim in the Keren Zavis case, embrace, so to speak, they swallow up the tree. So that now we can say that the top of the tree, again, the way I'm learning it, I don't know if this I didn't see it, but it's bottled to the top of the kosel. But if on the other hand, you just have a tree that's smack up against the side of a kosel, one single kosel, it's not two ksalim that meet at a Keren Zavis and the tree is located exactly growing at that Keren Zavis, where now you could only see it as covered on one side. Rabbah's going to agree that since it's exposed on three sides, it's a separate entity, it's not part of the kosel, and therefore it's like any other tree. So again, Rabbah is always going to have to use the halacha of lavud when you have part of the tree that is connected to something, and now we could be mafkia the shem ilon. All right, hahu dikla. Now we get to the case of the palm tree. Dahavi la baye. So this dekel was actually planted in the house of Abaye. Vavi Solik Beifuma. He created a skylight in his roof, and Solik meaning to go up, the tree would go up through the skylight. And the relationship or distance between the top of the tree and the flat surface of the gag was less than 3 tfach. And I'm not sure exactly what Abaye did on the gag exactly what, but in any event, from an aesthetic point of view, I can only comment that it made the gag look very beautiful, because you have all the foliage of this palm tree that is now spreading its wings over the gag. But in any event, the tree itself does not rise above the Gag level. Maybe it does for one tefach, two tefachim, but not three tefachim. Also, l'kami de Rav Yosef. Abai comes in front of Rav Yosef to ask him, what is the status of the branches on the top of this tree? Now, if you measure the tree from its trunk, then certainly it's above three tefachim. But on the other hand, if you are going to measure that part of the tree, those branches that are spreading over the Gag, and they're not three tefachim above the Gag, then if we apply at least the principle of Rabbah, and you don't see this tree as one complete entity, then that part of the tree is, I use the word batel to the Gag, or a more precise term again is lovud to the Bat, to the Gag. Or shall we say no? Do we measure from the bottom, the house of the ground of the house, and we continue going, measuring all the way up, and of course it's more than three tefachim high, so I'm not allowed to benefit from those leaves and branches that shoot through the skylight and are spreading out on the bottom of, on the bottom floor of my Gag, the bottom part of my Gag. Usharali. Rav Yosef says it's mutter. Why? Because the part that's exposed above the skylight on the Gag is less than three tefachim in height. Now Rashi adds another element to the equation here, which we'll have to come back to, and he says that the top part that rises above the Gag is covered by the skylight, so to speak, meaning if you were standing inside the house, you would not have any side whatsoever, says Rashi, of the Anofim that are above the skylight, that are on the Gag, that is exposed to the eye. So in other words, if I'm standing, says Rashi, on the ground of my house, looking up, what part of these Anofim, of the tree that rose above the skylight, could I see? The answer is zero. Rashi says, I can't see any of it. See, in the previous case, because Rashi wants to tell you what's the bigger chiddush here, in the previous case of Keren's office, we said at least on one side, the eye could travel from the karka inside the house all the way up to the top of the ilan. It's exposed on one side continuously from the bottom, from the floor all the way up, and it's more than three tefachim. Here, it's possible that even Rav Sheshes would allow using the top part of the Elon and seeing it as a separate entity, and it doesn't have a height of three tefachim above the Gag, because here, what are you going to say? It's one continuous entity. If I stand at the feet, at the trunk of this tree, which is located in the house of Abaye, I wish Abaye would invite me in, I can't see any of the top of the tree. It's all above the Gag level, shooting, as it were, through the skylight. Amalei Rav Acha bar Tachlifa, disharalach kiraba sharachlach. Why Rav Sheshe? I'm sorry. Why are you, Rav Yosef, so convinced that it's mutter to benefit from the branches on top and the leaves on top? You're paskin like Rabba, who sees that part that's less than three tefachim is separate from the rest of the tree, implying that according to Rav Sheshes, it would be Asur. Says the Gemara, Pshita. In other words, why did Rav Acha have to say or attach this addendum, this comment, to Rav Yosef and say Rav Yosef is built on Rabba, meaning you passing like Rabba against Rav Sheshes? Pshita. Certainly, this is only mutter according to Rabba, and if Rav Sheshes was matir for Abaye, it means he passing like Rabba. Because if we go with Rav Sheshes, we have the principle called Mikoch Iser Ka'asya, and the tree itself is certainly above three tefachim, and it's also by Norbitoris Elon. And the top part of the tree is just an outgrowth and an extension of the main body of the tree. Gemara says, no, that's not pshit at all. Mao detem afilu Rav Yos, afilu Rav Sheshes. Even Rav Sheshes would agree in this case that the top part of the tree is mutter, like Rabba. The Besa command the Malya dummy, because we see the bias and that which is above the bias as two separate entities. Because whatever is considered inside the house, it's considered mole. It's as if we filled up the entire inside halal, the inside airspace of the house. And now the Elon itself is completely surrounded on all sides. Again, that part of the Elon that's inside the house is therefore, Rav Sheshes would concede in this case, that part of the Elon that's outside the house, that's up on the roof, and it's less than three tefachim from the ground of the roof, is certainly us. I'm sorry, is certainly mut. Kamash Malan, that's what Rav Acha came to clarify, and that is that Rav Sheshes would still insist in this case that it's asur, despite the fact that the bulk of the tree is in a bias, and we could apply the principle of Besa Kamanda Mali Dami. Nevertheless, Rav Sheshes would say that it's us. Just a few words about this concept of Besa Kamanda Malya Dami, which literally translates to mean Habayis Nechshav Ki'ilu Hu Mole V'Kulo Me'uve Hakarka Hu L'chein Nechshav Ha'ilon Ha'ome B'socho K'tomun U'mechusa B'karka V'yod Rav Sheshes So mitoch sheyesh bo choshech umole hevel, Rashi says in Masechet Shabbos. And we saw something similar back on Daf Ayin Vav in the case of the chalon shebekosel bein shtei reshuyos im gavoa asorat fochim is eno moel lechabram. So we have the kosel between two rishuyos, and you cannot connect the two together because of this gova of asarat fachim in the kosel. Kosel is such so high, it's like a mechitza that separates the two rishuyos. They should kavua begova hakosel. Yevshalach shiva kepesach kevin shakosel mitachtov. And the Gemara says, "Lo shanu el chalon shebeishtei chatzeres, av chalon bekosel shebein shnei batim, af kshu gavoa me'asor yochol yarvam yachad mipnei sor zu shechalal habayis nechshav kiman demali domi. V'nimtza ki'ilu achalon somuch lekark habayis v'yechoshev kipesach bein habatim l'chabram l'shus achas." Now what we're up to here is a quote called Tnan. So let's make a note of it. We're on Daf Kuf Amid Aleph, and we're up to Tnan. See what line it is over here. It is the second of the wide lines. At the end of the second of the wide lines, it says Tnan on Daf Kuf Amud Aleph. So that's where Mitzvah Shem will pick it up tomorrow.